look at the Word of God and Acts chapter 1. Just like to read to you from that before I speak. Dear Theophilus, in my first book I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it's not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid them from their sight. Pray that God will speak to us through those words this morning. Well, thank you for your welcome. I'm delighted to be able to be here and be able to be part of this kind of special day. And it's also good for me because I haven't really been in the job all that long. I started officially on the 1st of December, but I was inducted to the post on the 14th of January 2 weeks ago. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride starting to be team leader of the London Baptist Association. There are a couple of things that kind of strike me before I just go on and speak a little bit about this word that are things that you might pray about. One of them is that one of the things that we struggle with in local churches, and I'm sure is true within the London Baptist Association, is that you can get so bogged down, if you like, with the kind of maintenance tasks, you know, just kind of keeping the show on the road, that you don't have the opportunity to be visionary and to really get, you know, the mission going. It's a problem that I faced as a minister in a local church, and I guess some of you will know what I'm talking about. Do pray that, yeah, we do the stuff that needs to be done as a London Baptist Association, but that we have a clear vision of what we're about in encouraging and supporting missional churches in London as we seek to share this great gospel in word and deed with the community amongst us. The second thing I want to talk about is prayer. You know, it's just great to hear about your own week of prayer and the way you've been praying. For me, prayer is just fundamentally important. The work of local church life needs to be kind of tied down. I call them like tent pegs with prayer that can kind of hold it firm. And I believe that's absolutely true of the London Baptist Association. You know, it's not that the London Baptist Association hasn't been praying, but we're going to sort of focus on that. I've already sort of put a couple of dates in the diary for March for a day of fasting and prayer. And not everybody fasts, but some do, and that's going to be on a Monday, and I'm encouraging people to join me at Bloomsbury in the morning of the 6th, I think it's the 6th, it's probably the 7th, whatever, you hear about it anyway. Well, we might be praying, and what I'd like to think is that we might just tie the work down with tent pegs of prayer. You know, at a number of occasions through the years, and what I'm hoping is that churches will come up and say, "Hey, we can give you breakfast," and then we can have a couple of hours of prayer on these kind of fasting and prayer days. And I just think that's so important. Hey, let's have a look at what these verses have got to say to us. As I considered this morning, my thoughts turned to 1 and verse 7. "You will be my witnesses." So quickly did they turn to this that I'm sure that you must have heard the theme preached on, and it kind of sprung out of your theme, you know, carrying eternal fame into the new year, yeah. So if somebody else has preached on that already, I'm sure God just wants to underline it. What is it to be witnesses? What is it to be witnesses? And there are times when I think about this, and I find myself confronted with kind of nightmare scenarios, you know, that happen, that we think it's, oh dear, to be a witness, does that mean the kind of start embarrassing and awkward conversations with people I've never met, you know? So you're sitting on a train and you ask somebody if they're saved, or you start talking about the weather and then you plunge into some deep conversation about the nature of who Jesus is. It's no wonder that we all feel a bit overwhelmed in that situation. I certainly do. Is that what being a witness is? Is being a witness kind of saying, well, I, you know, my life has got to be kind of so kind of tight that there seems to be, you know, I need to live such a different life that people actually feel awkward about being with me and are worried about offending me all the time. Is that what being a witness is? Let's look at these verses and see what they say just briefly about what it is to be a witness. The first thing that strikes me about this passage is that witnesses are people who have encountered the risen Christ. They're people who have encountered the risen Christ. It's interesting to note that how Luke, the writer of the Acts, introduces us to the disciples' encounter with Jesus. It must have taken some getting used to. Can you imagine that sort of experience? They'd been with Jesus, they'd known that Jesus was crucified, and now Jesus would just kind of turn up. And you know, he might appear in the room or something like this, you know, in a knock. He was just there. And it took some getting used to, you know, what are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with kind of an apparition? Certainly not. Jesus said, come and feel me, touch me, give me something to eat. And Luke kind of underlines that, doesn't he? He says to us, you know, he gave many kind of convincing proofs in another version, or he proved beyond doubt, says this version, that Jesus was alive. He did many things to do that. These people had a living, tangible encounter with the risen Christ. And Luke makes it clear to his readers that Jesus gave convincing proofs that he was alive. This living presence of Jesus was an important feature of the life of the early church. At one level, we might argue that it was easier for those earlier disciples. After all, they could touch Jesus, they can kind of see Jesus, they could sort of share a meal with Jesus. Yet, what we find as we read through the Acts of the Apostles is that it wasn't just that Jesus was, there was a tangible presence of Jesus when you could feel, touch, hold, eat with. We find that the whole experience of the early church in the Acts of the Apostles, those early chapters, was infused by that sense of Jesus being there, Jesus being real, Jesus being present amongst them. So it wasn't just about the physical presence of Jesus. It was that by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present. Our witness flows from a living encounter with the risen Christ. We may not be able to touch, but the presence of Jesus is real to us. Do I get some nods? Yeah. Do you know what it means that Jesus is alive? You know, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 sums it up when he says this. Though we have not seen him, what Peter says is, though you have not seen him, you love him and are filled with an inexpressible joy. Jesus is real. Jesus is real to me. I know Jesus. I know he's alive. If you come up to me and say Jesus is not alive, you might as well say I'm not here. You know? Because the reality of Jesus' presence is there. The joy of knowing the risen of Christ is what we witness to. I haven't been in this job long, but I'm excited by the potential that exists within people who know the risen Christ and who are motivated by that knowledge. I've come to know Jesus. I am a disciple of Jesus. And that just drives my life. Because I know him. You know? I remember years ago somebody saying, oh, you only obey Jesus because you're afraid that you might get zapped from heaven. And I remember answering them and saying, you know, I seek to do the things that Jesus wants me to do because I know him. He is a friend of mine. He's somebody that I kind of talk to. And I like to talk to, so I keep in touch with him. My friends, such witness is powerful. The knowledge of Jesus as the risen one. And the second thing about being witnesses is that we're doers and not talkers. Even though these early disciples had this unique experience of meeting with the risen Christ, and we know that that was just as real when Jesus had left them and ascended, we find them moving into the realms of speculation. The disciples say, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" For a people living under the oppression of occupation, we know that that was a reasonable request. You know, we'd love to see the Romans go. We'd love to be free of that kind of oppression. You kind of understand them asking a question like that. Is our liberation near? But Jesus tells them, yeah, it's an inappropriate question. You're not here to speculate. Jesus wasn't into discussing the things that were outside the remit of the disciples. How we need to hear that. We can fill libraries with debate and discussion about this and about that. I've spent hours studying. Now, I don't believe that's entirely a bad thing, and God shaped many things in me through the studies that I've had during the years. But I'm convinced that what I know about God should lead to action, not speculation. When Jesus tells these disciples that they will be witnesses, he is not telling them that they must engage in theological debate about the nature of Jesus and the future. He is telling them to get on with being disciples. Do discipleship. Be followers. And being a follower means doing the things that Jesus did. As I come to this job, one of my passions is to resource, encourage, and to support the Baptist disciples of London, and we might say all the disciples of Jesus in this city, in the task of doing, to celebrate what is happening, to put it on the agenda, and get others engaged. You know, I'm delighted to be here, and I go round and I see the church, and I see you, and I sense the Spirit in the building, and I'm looking at the things you're involved in, and I'm thinking, God, do I need that? God, do I need that? You know, there are sides to this job that I'm not enjoying, and I'm going to have to do those things, and I can't, and some of those things need to be done. But you know, the thing that's going to make me excited and energize me is coming to see disciples doing the work of Jesus. Yeah. That's just going to really make me feel good, because that's what we're about, and that's what we're about as an association. You know, I came into the association, I knew that we were kind of people who needed to be there to support churches in need, and I understood that. I know that we've got to be there at times of crisis, and I understand that. I know that we've got to help churches that might have kind of lost their way a bit, and I understand that. But you know, that has got to come out of the centre. And it's got to go to the edge. Got to be something that we've got to do. But at the centre of what we are as an association is that we are disciples of Jesus here to do the work of Jesus. And we must do that in the best way that we possibly can. And the resources that we have as a fellowship of Baptist churches, 300 Baptist churches in London, to encourage and enable one another to do that is what we need to do. One of my joys will be to go to churches like this and other churches, and I shall keep those in my mind, so that when somebody says to me, you know, we feel Jesus wants us to do this, I'll know, Victoria Baptist Church are doing that. You might want to talk to them. Yeah? So that we can share those kind of things, and that network of experience can be disciples who are doers. Witnesses are doers. They're people who've come to know Jesus, who follow Jesus, and do the things that Jesus did. When Jesus walked on this earth, he didn't really start a Bible school. He got on and lived the message that he announced. Yes, at one level, he drew on that prophetic tradition that pointed to him. He saw himself as the culmination of the Old Testament hope. However, that whole Testament hope was fulfilled in concrete terms. Good news to the poor. Tangible life-changing method, healing and deliverance of people. We bring this as witnesses through our prayers for people, through the practical activities that we do as communities, either in the places that we find ourselves day by day in our jobs, or as we're together as a community wherever you happen to live. You know, this is more than building bridges. This is more than creating pools to fish for disciples. This is action that declares the message of Jesus. We do this because this is what Jesus is about. When we open this, I'll cut this ribbon. That's going to be a nice experience for me. Yeah? Cut the ribbon. What are we doing this for? So that people might think nicely about us? So that we might get to know a few more people? We do it because that's what Jesus would have us do. It's a testimony, a witness to the nature of the Jesus that we serve and what he is about, and we want to be about what he's about. Yeah? Do as not talkers. We're a people empowered. You will receive the Holy, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Made no secret of the fact I'm a charismatic Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. You know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is just such an important part of my life. I can't ignore that. And, you know, while I understand that people come at these things from different angles, I've got to be who I am, you know. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit energizes me, and it energized me throughout my life. And I'm delighted by that. And I honestly have got to say to you, you know, I've been given a gift of tongues, and it's just something I use in my own prayer life. It's not something I make a big deal about. But I'll tell you something. I'm so glad I've got it. Yeah? My prayer life over these last 3 months has had to be that. And it's the only way that I get into what's inside me and let it out to God. It's through that gift. I can't deny that empowering that the Holy Spirit gives to me. And I want to, you know, I just want to say that, just be upfront about it. We are people empowered by the Spirit. We're not expected to carry out this task of discipleship on our own. Our encounter with Jesus is brought to us by the Holy Spirit and flows out of us. We are to be a Spirit-filled people, not simply on the basis that it might make us feel good, but because we want to live the life of Jesus. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. I recognise that we face big challenges as Christians in London, and that you face big challenges in the community, the place where you live. Energy and vision are called for as we seek to be disciples in the places we find ourselves day by day, and in the communities where we're placed as a community of faith. We need the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible talks about us, when we gather, being a temple of the Holy Spirit. When we're here together as living stones, the Spirit of God is present. And the Spirit is present to energize you as an individual and as a church. Sunday is the time for inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, the Holy Spirit comes to us at different times, but this is a time for energy, energizing. This is a time to focus. Coming to church on Sunday should energize you for the week of ministry ahead. Yeah? I don't know what you've got to face tomorrow. Hopefully you're going to face some easy things, but I know some of you will be facing some tough things. You know? And it's as we turn our eyes upon Jesus today, as we look at him, as we worship him, as we sense the Spirit moving amongst us, as we, you know, get rid of the baggage, you know, that sin that so easily clings, you know, we shake it off and we focus again week by week on Jesus. That Spirit of God comes to us and energizes us, and we look at things in a different world. You know, that old hymn, and the things of earth will go strangely dim. Yeah, we get to that kind of point. Jesus does those things through us. We're a people empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm aware of the spiritual dimension of what we're doing, the principalities and powers that trouble us, disturb us, and cause us problems. I know, I looked at your website this morning, and I was just, I don't know whether you, I know on websites that you can link into Bible Gateway and it kind of coughs up a different text. Well, your text today on your website is, you know, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Just thought you might like to know that. That's the reality in which we face, and the energizing power of the Holy Spirit enables us to deal with that. You know, we're not having to deal with just this person or that person. We're dealing with structural kind of spirituality. You know, we're doing things that there's a power behind them that makes things so difficult. We need to be strong in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit in that way. So we seek that. And just finally, very briefly, we're a people of hope. We're a people of hope. This Jesus whom you've seen go will come again. This Jesus has inaugurated, yes, he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament hope. Good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, healing, deliverance, all of those things. Jesus embraces so much of the Old Testament hope we read about in Isaiah and the other prophets too. He brings the future into the present. We know what Jesus is about. We know what the values of the kingdom are about. We know what Jesus is going to establish when heaven comes to earth and the new Jerusalem is revealed. We know those things. And we live them now in hope that they will be fully revealed. We are the people who live according to the values of the kingdom. That is our hope, and that's why we live the way we do. You will be my witnesses. People who have encountered Jesus. People who are doers more than talkers. People empowered by the Holy Spirit. And people of hope. I pray that God will bless you and speak to you through that word. Amen.